Welcome to the Beyond Intuitive Eating Podcast, hosted by me, Beth Basham. I am a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and liberated body coach. I'm also a wife and mama to two amazing little people. With over 20 years of experience, I help women bridge food freedom with optimal health using principles of intuitive eating, foundations of emotional mastery, functional medicine, and neuroscience. This is the space where you get to end the war with your body and discover total confidence and true health from the inside out. Looking into the mirror and hating what we see, feeling shame for chronic pain, and obsessing about ways to fix our broken body is unfortunately so common. And today, I'd love to start exploring an unusual, more nuanced connection between healing our body image concerns using the power of the pelvic floor. You might be thinking to yourself, what does the pelvic floor and this area of my body have anything to do with how I feel about myself when I look in the mirror, or maybe even my obsession with food and counting calories or dieting, etc.? But you might be surprised to learn that it has a lot more connection than you might think. Now, this isn't my area of expertise, but I brought on an expert, and she happens to also be one of my dearest friends. Her name is Brianne Grogan. She is a doctor of physical therapy specializing in pelvic health. She's also an Oregon native. Bree and her family lived in Germany for 12 years. That's where I actually met Brianne. And she nurtured and grew this amazing and very popular YouTube channel, which is now over 420,000 subscribers strong. All right. So she's reached a lot of women. You may have heard of her. Her mission is to change the conversation around pelvic wellness, to embrace a new paradigm that includes our thoughts, emotions, energy, mindset, spirit, and soul, along with the body-based approaches to care. So Brianne, thank you so much for being on the show today. I am grateful for you in so many ways.
Oh, Beth, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I know I just want to dive right in with you because there's so much we can explore in this conversation. And I have a feeling that a lot of what we're going to talk about today is going to be completely new to my audience.
That's good to know. I'm so involved in my little bubble of pelvic health and wellness that I sometimes forget that this is even like, what is the pelvic floor? This is a new body part for some people. So yeah, tell me where you'd like me to start. I'm there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's just start by prefacing it by recognizing that there's a lot of women and people in my audience who experience body image concerns. Yeah. I mean, I don't know very many women who don't, right? And I know you and I are both big fans of using somatic work to help them get back into their bodies and start building safety from within, because of a lot of our dislike of our bodies does stem from these external narratives and cultural stories that our body is some sort of threat. Okay. Yeah. And so for many of us, we've seen that threat and it literally becomes this problem that we have to solve. And I know you get this. And I know you have a very near and dear to your heart. The pelvic region of the body, especially of a woman's body, is incredibly powerful, but also stores a lot of shame and a lot of cultural narratives of its own. So why don't you just start by telling us about you, Brianne? You're going to be new to people that are listening. Tell us about your work and why you're so passionate about it. And then we'll get into all things pelvic health.
Okay. I will keep this to a nutshell version because I could go on all day about this topic. This has branched out in so many different directions over the years. I've been specializing in pelvic health since 2007, since the birth of my son. And I was interested in women's health and pelvic health before that, but I didn't really get into it until I was pregnant and was really experiencing some firsthand. changes down in in my womb, in my pelvic region. I was experiencing pain. I had kind of a difficult pregnancy, actually. And then after giving birth, I did experience mild bladder prolapse, which is when one of your pelvic organs, prolapse is when one of your pelvic organs, your bladder, your uterus, or your rectum, they shift, they change position. And it's very uncomfortable. And it's also very common. And so I dealt with my own mild postpartum bladder prolapse when I went on a run way too early after giving birth, even though I knew better. as a pelvic floor physical therapist, I'd already started my training in pelvic floor health. I knew better, but I thought I could conquer the world and go for a run. And I needed the stress relief because I had a newborn at home and I didn't know what I was doing. And I experienced some very significant symptoms. And from there, like that's really where everything unfolded as far as pelvic health. That's really where everything began in having my own issues. And the thing is, I had already started, again, the coursework, the specialty of pelvic health at that point. And luckily, I was able to use what I was learning in my training for myself and also for all of the clients I was working with. And the clients I was working with, the women who were coming to me with pelvic pain, bladder leakage, pelvic discomfort from prolapse, painful sex, complete loss of libido, vaginal atrophy, dryness, things like this, all of these things, people would constantly come to me in 2007 and say, I had no idea there was help for this. So that really just warmed my heart and made me realize I'm making a difference. I'm making a difference by helping people, by helping them feel less alone, by giving them tools that can actually make them get better so they don't feel like they have to go toward surgery or medication if that's not right for them. You know, there's things you can do. So that's an element. There's many more elements, but I think that's a good starting place.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a lot of things that I still to this day don't think are talked about fully. Like you said, these women came to you in 2007. I'm sure there's women listening right now who thought to themselves, oh, wait a second, all those things, I've either experienced one or many of those symptoms, and I didn't know there was help either. Yeah. And, you know, I think that the awareness is growing, but I also find this to be really connected to our body image, because when we're having these issues in this area of our body and we don't know if there's help or support, and we're also afraid to talk about it, it builds within us, right? It builds this shame spiral, this guilt, this question mark as to why our body is broken. Why did this happen? Like, why does pregnancy lead, you know, you don't even have to get pregnant to have these issues, right? But in many cases, pregnancy can lead to many of these issues. And it's like, what in the world? And there's just so much, I'm going to use the word again, shame. I know shame is a really big word. And the word shame is actually shaming. Like when we hear that word, research shows us that we actually have a response in our body that's not so positive.
Yeah.
But how do you think your work, the work that you do with women, both in person and on your YouTube channel, connect with improving a person's body image and how they see themselves? Do you see any connections there that you could speak to?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, the first thing I want to say is a lot of women come to me feeling after they've developed, again, bladder leakage or prolapse or they're having painful sex, things like that, they feel that they're broken. They'll say that my vagina is broken, my body's broken, I feel broken. And I really strive to help people understand that things might have changed. They're changed, but they're not broken. So changed, but not broken. It's such an important and powerful mind shift. However, that being said, yeah, when you're in it, just me saying that to you or somebody saying that to you, you're changed, but not broken, it still can take a while for that to really sink in and for you to really believe it. So you might say, well, yeah, pretty words, Bree, but I feel broken. And the body image concern is actually a very significant part of pelvic health challenges. And there's been research done on this too. So I, in preparation for our call today, I was like, I know there's research I have read on prolapse and body image. And so I did some digging to pull these studies back up. And there are several studies on prolapse and body image. And the interesting thing, because there's been questionnaires that have been specifically designed for pelvic health issues and body image. But I'll go ahead and read just a bit from the abstract of one of the articles. And it says here that it had 25 women that were participating in a focus group and 27 in online questionnaires. And analysis of these questionnaires and focus groups revealed that women living with prolapse were more likely to feel self-conscious, isolated, different, less feminine, and less attractive. Women often changed sexual intimacy practices because of embarrassment or discomfort, and many avoided intimacy altogether. And then there's more, but this is an article called Body Image Perceptions in Women with Pelvic Organ Prolapse, a Qualitative Study, by Jerry Lauder in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology from 2011. And again, there's been other research on body image and pelvic health issues, and particularly prolapse. But I found it interesting because culturally it can vary between different parts of the world. So there was another study that actually was with Portuguese women. So this was an American study. But there was a study with Portuguese women that actually showed that they didn't necessarily have massive body image impairments. And I thought that was so fascinating because I think it really depends on the place, the culture, and also the time. You know, back many, many, many thousands of years ago, the female body was revered. And it wasn't until more recent history, and by recent, I mean, you know, a couple thousand years ago, so, you know, in the grand scheme of things recent, that shame really came into the whole lexicon of femininity and how we perceive women. And actually, pudendum is a term for the female external genitalia. And pudendum means to be ashamed, which I just think is fascinating. In Latin, pudendum means to be ashamed. And we still have, we no longer really refer to the vulva and the genitalia as pudendum or pudenda, but we do have a pudendal nerve in our body. And many people may have heard of pudendal neuralgia. Well, the pudendal nerve supplies the genital area. And again, it means to be ashamed in Latin. That's the root of that word.
That's incredible. And I just want to reflect on a couple of things you said here, because I think they're really powerful. One of the first things I heard and want to just regurgitate and highlight here is that there's this underlying theme of brokenness when our body isn't working as we think it should, right? Whether it has to do with the pelvic floor or our weight or something else, chronic pain, you know, those who suffer from chronic illness and chronic pain, which could be related to the pelvic floor or many other things, have this general sense that's culturally inherited, right? Like these are narratives that have been put on us. They're not necessarily the truth, but it's that we're broken and we need to somehow problem solve and fix ourselves. And that can be traced back in history for many, many, many years and generations. And this is generational. Like this is something our mothers, our grandmothers, people before us have transmitted down our DNA line, right? And so you didn't say all that, but you did say that there is this like really deeply rooted idea that there's something wrong inherently also with this region of our body, right? Yeah. The history on the pudendal just the lexicon and the Latin stem of the word literally translating to shame is so telling of how deep this cultural story about women's body reaches.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow. I hope those, you know, the person listening to this is like, oh my gosh, it's not my fault that there's been shame in this area of my body or in my body in general. Like, it totally makes sense. This story has existed for so many generations, for so long. Mm-hmm. So what do we do with that, Brianne? I know your work is really focused around the liberation, the acceptance, the connection to this area of the body. What do we do to start changing that narrative, releasing the shame, and finding acceptance for this area of our body, which I believe can translate to acceptance for other areas of the body that may or may not be related to the pelvic floor.
Yeah. Oh, I just love this conversation so much. Let me just first say that, again, regarding word roots and word origins, vagina, so the vulva is the external part of your, you know, entire genital area as a female. The vagina is the canal that leads up to the cervix and the uterus. So vagina actually is, the origin is sheath for a sword.
Interesting.
So yeah. So I just kind of want to like let the mic drop there a little bit. I think that's fascinating too, is that this is what it's for. The vagina is a sheath for a sword. And not to get too deep into, you know, patriarchy or anything like that, but it's just interesting that the external genitalia is meaning is to be ashamed. And then the vagina itself is a sheath for a sword, something to put a sword into. And there's just so much more than that. And I do believe that before those words were really created and made part of our language, that there was a lot of reverence that I would love for everyone to get back to. And now it's kind of hard because I think finding the right language is actually really important because words are so powerful. I mean, the power of those two words that I just shared in a more difficult direction is kind of wild. I mean, it's kind of wild to understand where those words come from. And now, as you're listening, you may have them, you know, resounding and rolling around and resonating with you in a different way than before. You might be like, oh my gosh, I don't like those words anymore. But honestly, most people don't love those words anyway. They're not necessarily something we really say. And I do think that reclaiming those words, reclaiming the language around our body parts is very important. And it doesn't really matter what you choose to call them. I think this is a powerful first step in healing body image, reclaiming our connection with ourselves, reclaiming our body is, again, to reclaim the words. So if you can get past that, you know, kind of difficult stuff that I just shared about, you know, sheath for a sword and to be ashamed as the word origins, then reclaiming those words and actually using them, actually learning the anatomical terms, calling your body parts, you know, your vulva and your vagina, if you want to do that, rather than your hoo-ha or, you know, just down there or your lady parts or your nether regions or whatever it is that you just kind of, it just kind of indicates that you don't want to talk about it, that it's divorced from you. It's not a part of you. It's separate. It's sort of a silly, frivolous, fluffy, or yucky thing, right? Calling it by its appropriate name, whatever feels right to you, is powerful. And I think giving it a name that's either anatomically correct based on the words we currently use, which is vagina and vulva, I think that's fine. Or you can refer to it as, you know, yoni, which is more of a, it's a Sanskrit term that means temple. It means like home. There are many different interpretations for it, but it encompasses the vulva and vagina. And if you're comfortable with using that word, if that feels good to you based on your studies, your trainings, or your lineage, then that's a beautiful honoring term to use as well. So that's one way to begin kind of reconnecting and reclaiming this part of our body.
I love that, Brianne. And I want to just like showcase that this first step is very cognitive. It's using our thinking brain, right? Mm-hmm. You and I both love body work and somatic work, but this first step I think is really accessible for most people is just to start by looking at how we actually feel in response to a lot of the words that you just use. Because I know personally I've used hoo-ha, nether regions, and it is from this like literally unconscious place of shame that I didn't even know I had until I shined a light on it, you know, until recently. I will tell you, you know, as a woman going into her 40s, I have had a long time relationship of shame with that area of my body. And it wasn't my fault. I don't even consider it my mother's fault or any of my caregiver's fault. It was just translated down the line and down the lineage. And I didn't even know it was not that it's a problem. Nothing's actually a problem, but reclaiming those words from that cognitive space of saying, wait a second, but yeah, this is a part of me. Yeah. This isn't a part that I need to be ashamed of. It's actually this place in my body is the force of life. It's a life-giving space. And just really re-narrating what this part of my body means to me helps me create wholeness in my entirety. Like my body image, I think a lot of our body image issues start from that shame-based idea of what is down there in our vagina, our vulva, right? Mm-hmm. So this cognitive step, I think, is so crucial. And I think it's more accessible when we're just getting started on reclaiming the center of our body. So what's next?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, yes, it is a huge part of our body image because it's what we associate with being a woman if we identify as a woman. You know, our breasts usually and our genitals are what we associate with being a woman. So there is so much wrapped up in this. And for me, I'll speak personally from growing up, you know, it was very, very shameful to, for example, have your period. I know that I certainly wasn't ushered into the world of womanhood with a celebration and ceremony and some kind of rite of passage. Unfortunately, that wasn't how I grew up. And I think most of us in, you know, Western culture weren't celebrated with a rite of passage, marking you from a child to womanhood when we start our bleed. In fact, many women are terrified. Many young girls are terrified when they first have their period and they are ashamed and embarrassed and don't really know what to do about it because there's not a lot of conversation. For me, when I would go shopping for or, you know, need pads or something like that, it was definitely something that my mom, bless her, was like hiding the pads under other groceries at the checkout line. And like, this is what you do. You hide them under the other groceries. This is how you do it. And then you make sure you go to a female checkout person, not a man, because, you know, this is essentially indicating this is dirty. This is shameful. This is something we don't want to look at or deal with. And that was really the message I got growing up. Again, through no fault of my mother, she was raised that way too. And kind of to go a little further into this subject of lineage, and then I'll share some tools that maybe we could do to bring this into our body. But we as babies are fetuses in our mother's womb with a fully developed reproductive system by around 20 weeks, meaning that we have all of our eggs, the genetic components of a baby that we may have in the future, they're developed at 20 weeks gestation, approximately. And so our eggs, our genetic future, if we choose to have children, is in our mother's womb. She was the same when she, our mother, was a fetus. She was in her mom's womb, our grandmother, with her eggs fully developed at 20 weeks. So essentially, the egg that turned into us was in our grandmother. And I just think that's so fascinating that we literally have this imprint from generations. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about epigenetics and generational trauma and just things being passed down on an emotional level, but also an energetic and physical body-based DNA level. It's amazing. And so I think of that all the time when I think about what has been passed down, not just my eye color and my hair color, but also the way we are, you know, the way we are, the thoughts we have, the histories we have, the energetics. I believe that's all passed down as well. And so it's a big ask to have somebody begin to unwind layers and layers and layers of generational repression and shame and issues around the image, their body image as a woman and the body parts they have as a woman and what that means and the danger that it could bring them. Because often being a woman has some danger associated with it, as far as maybe people have been taken advantage of, or many, many reasons why that could be something you'd want to hide or be very cautious and careful about. And so there's just so much. And so we do need to start by reclaiming within ourselves our own femininity. And again, that very cognitive piece that I just shared about naming our body parts is important. But I think a great next step to really get into your body is to really feel this part of our body, our pelvic area, by coming in and moving our bodies and really loosening up and opening up our hips, and not just through stretches and yoga poses, although those are great, but dance and sensual movements that can really drop you in and get you feeling this part of you.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. And that's probably stepping into an area where people are like, ooh, wait, I can do yoga, but dance? Like why dance? Or why? I know your big thing for a long time, Bree, was hip circles, you know, lots of hip circles as part of, you know, core foundational pelvic health. So that can, I'm sure, feel like a little bit more dangerous to step into more movement-based healing. And we also know how incredibly powerful movement can be as a tool for healing. So for somebody feeling like, okay, well, what's the first way to move my body? Would you say just turning on some music you enjoy and just letting your body move to the music? Like what, how do you first introduce somebody to movement for the healing of this area?
Yeah, great question. And it's something that I think some people will have no problem with this. This is part of their culture. It's part of their family's history, dance, movement. It's not a thing. So for some people, it's like, not a big deal. But for many people that I know and clients I've had, it is a big deal. It is like, they feel very stiff and very awkward. And it feels almost, again, to bring back that word, a little shameful maybe to move your pelvis and to move your hips. I mean, I believe, you know, Elvis the pelvis, he was kind of Elvis. He was very much on the edge because he moved his pelvis and it was kind of like, whoa, this is a dangerous, edgy thing. And so again, part of our conditioning, I think a beautiful way to get started is to make it a bit of an exercise. So I created YouTube videos many, many years ago. I want to say, gosh, my morning hip circle challenge video is probably at least 10 years old, if not older. But I just have people do 10 to 20, up to 50 hip circles in each direction, where you're really doing it more as an exercise, just kind of mechanically moving your hips, getting your body moving in a different way that you might not have moved before. So you just bend your knees a little bit and you circle your pelvis over the ground, like you're drawing a circle on the floor beneath you, and you go an equal number of times in each direction. So that's a great way to get started. Just kind of feel how stiff your body might be, how it feels, just kind of check in with yourself and do it as an exercise. It's a great strengthener and it can really help people's back pain, and it's wonderful for your pelvic floor. But then taking it a step further to really more of a somatic embodied practice, somatic movement is really just being in your body and feeling in your body as you're moving. And I love to put music on for this. So putting on some song, the slower, the better. And to me, that's the key, is really slowing down the movement and dropping in. So being in a safe, quiet, private space where you feel like you can drop in and relax, putting on a slow song that you love, and already having that knowledge and awareness of what a hip circle feels like or moving your hips feels like, just then let the music move you. You can also do it in complete silence and just let your body move in any pattern it feels like it wants to, kind of focusing a little more on the pelvic area and just see what comes up. The slower, the better. I find that sometimes I can have tears come when I just really drop in and go slow and let my body move me, or let the music move me if I'm listening to a song.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like that's also fairly accessible for most people, just to start to move, right? Like it's such a beautiful opportunity. And I think we don't think of that. We want to cognitively think through the definitions. You know, it's fun to learn about the history of shame, and also looking at how can we reclaim our bodies in that way. But a lot of the healing work has to happen in the body as well. It can't just happen in the head. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck with intuitive eating and, you know, body image work that doesn't look at the pelvic floor, is they think they can just read the book, listen to a podcast, you know, just fill their brain with knowledge. But our body, our cells have memory and they store trauma and information. And we need to use our body to actually process that trauma. And like you were saying, so fascinating how we at one point in time were inside of our grandmother. Like, what? Yeah. Like, that's just, I love that. But it also showcases how deep this runs and how we, you know, you're inviting us to consider, what if we start using the body as a vehicle for moving this energy, releasing the shame, on top of reclaiming the words, on top of starting to re-narrate what it means to be a woman, to have breasts, to have a vagina, to have a vulva, you know? And I don't know. It's just, it's really cool. We could go so much deeper here. I mean, there's so much to explore, isn't there?
Well, yeah. And I mean, to take that last exercise just a little bit deeper and make it a little more tangible, I guess, if anyone wants to try it. I mean, you can, music or not, be in your safe place, your quiet space, and you can even tune in with yourself, maybe even placing your hands on your low belly, your pelvic area, your womb space, really feeling into that deep center of your pelvic bowl, your womb area. And by the way, this works whether or not you have a physical uterus. Even if you've had a hysterectomy, there's still energy there. So placing your hands on that part of the body and really tuning in, maybe moving your hips slowly, but just asking yourself, like, body or womb or vulva or whatever you want to refer to that area as, how are you? Like, check in with it. How are you today? Or how do you feel right now? Or are you ashamed? Or some kind of question, like literally bringing a dialogue in with your body to just start developing that relationship through that reclamation of words and naming it, and the reclamation of movement. And then just literally physically with your hands and with your thoughts and your dialogue, checking in and asking your body how she's doing today, how she feels, what's there for her. How are you today? You know, I love asking the question, how's your heart today? And the heart tends to be such an accessible part for many, many people. But our vulva, our womb, some of these deep spaces are so powerful energetically, but we don't always check in with them. It's a little harder to check in with those for many people, that part of our body. A lot of people, when you say, how's your heart today? They maybe smile and they feel a little bit glowing. They're, oh my gosh, thank you for asking. That's so beautiful. But it's probably pretty rare for you to maybe ask or be asked, how's your womb today? How's your vulva today? How's your pelvic bowl today? And so starting that dialogue with yourself through a conversation, movement, touch, breath is really, really powerful.
Wow, that's amazing, Brianne. And it's so simple. And I think we oftentimes miss these simple, simple, simple opportunities. And if you're thinking to yourself, I don't talk to my body parts, that's weird. It can feel weird, yeah. Right? And we need to, you know, the person who can do this is one who just keeps an open mind. And I also like to let people know, when we explore different parts of the body through interoceptive awareness or somatic work, numbness or resistance is actually also a sensation. So I imagine if you're dropping down into the area of the body and a black curtain comes over, or you feel resistance, you're like, nope, can't go there. Mm-hmm. It's really important to understand that that's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. This is not another broken part that needs to be fixed. This is just what's happening now. And this is an opportunity to stay present with that. Stay present with the numbness. Stay present with the black curtain, the resistance. And notice how that softens as you continue to ask the question and just explore it. Be curious. All of the work that we do with body image, at least in my perspective, and I think Brianne, you do too, is all based on curiosity, yeah, and openness. And there's not a right or a wrong. We're not, again, body image is very complex. It's very layered. It's historical. It's generational. There's all these pieces to it. And this is just a way to tap in that is, probably unlike anything you've ever done before, because my guess is anything you have done before hasn't been working for you. That's why you're on this interview right now. So it's worth exploring. And the power of this area of our body carries so much energy. Is there anything else you can say about this area of the body and the power it contains, or you think that the listeners would be really fascinated to hear?
Oh, yeah. I mean, One thing that comes to mind is I consider that we have many different centers of intuition. I think that sometimes we can think that intuition is something that is like a gut feeling, like a knowing without knowing, a gut feeling. And it is a gut feeling for some people. It can be a heart feeling. It can be a head feeling. Like I just intuitively know in my mind. But I also do believe that the more we develop this connection with our root, the pelvic area of our body, we can also develop an intuition center. I think it's our strongest intuition center personally, because this is my work, but my intuition, I have a root knowing of yeses and nos. And this is about things that I'm moving toward in my life, but also about just choices like health choices, as simple as checking in with my centers of intuition, which again includes my pelvic bowl and your pelvic bowl, if you're listening, it's just whether or not you've developed that relationship yet. But when I check in, I now know with almost everything, like, oh, that glass of wine actually doesn't sound like a good idea for me. And I feel it in my body. Or maybe that glass of wine does feel like a good idea. I feel it in my body. Or I don't want to do that workout today. I'd rather do this one. Like you can really use these intuition centers to make decisions for your health and wellness, as well as other decisions in life. But I find that I use my intuition so much more and so much more successfully now that I've really developed a relationship with my body, not just my thinking mind, but a relationship with my body that for me, you know, a huge portion of my journey has been my pelvic area and reclaiming it. So yeah, I think it really can help you make powerful choices in every area. And I guess I'll just leave with one tangible fact, which is that so many women do have pelvic floor challenges. I mean, the statistics around prolapse and bladder leakage incontinence are up to 50% of women. Up to 50% of women who've had children may have prolapse, and at least one in three women, if not more, have bladder leakage that is causing them issues in their day-to-day. And there are things you can do about this. So physical body-based exercises and techniques and lifestyle habits and practices. And the more you get to know your pelvic bowl, your pelvic area, the more you'll be able to intuitively know and feel, you know, this is right for me or this isn't right. Oh my gosh, like I now feel that I picked up that thing wrong and it did not feel good on my pelvic floor. I need to do something about that. Maybe I need to modify the way I'm picking things up. So it can be as like lofty and kind of ethereal and spiritual and energetic as you want, but it can also be very physical and tangible, this connection with the body. It can really help you take care of your health and keep your body safe for your whole life.
Oh, wow. Brianne, you did such a beautiful job of just bringing that all together. And something that I want to just highlight here in what you said is that it's a relationship that you have to build.
Yeah.
And I think of relationships, if you have not tuned into this area of your body for most of your life, all of your life, you know, just imagine it's like a person you haven't talked to. It lives across the street. They're always there, but you've never knocked on their door. It might take some time to build trust,
yeah.
Right? To get to know and learn about, ask the right questions, get the right answers. It's going to take time and patience to build trust back up with that part of your body. It doesn't happen with just one round of, oh, how are you doing today, vagina? Mm-hmm. You know, like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, for most of us, I think it's going to take, if especially we've been disconnected, it's going to take time. And oftentimes facilitation with a practitioner like you, Brianne, can be an incredibly powerful way to reconnect with this area of the body too, either through, you know, the work that you offer online. I know you have started to open the doors to an in-person practice, which has been a long time dream of yours. And the work that you do with your hands and your connection to the woman's body is incredible, powerful, and on all the levels, right? So anyway, I just wanted to say that we heal oftentimes in relationship. We can't always heal on our own because we haven't created those connections. But when we start to partner with those who have been there before us or can help us reconnect to our bodies, the timeline collapses and our ability to find those intuition centers once again is so much easier to do when we have that facilitation.
Yes. Thank you. I agree. And the reason that I know how to work with people is because I've done so much of this work myself. I've had help. I've gone to specifically work one-on-one with people for in-depth, lengthy retreats and events and workshops. And I've done so many trainings that have really brought it home to me in my own body. So I understand, because I didn't really take this that seriously at the beginning, even though I had pelvic health challenges and I loved treating my patients, the depth that I've come to understand today, you know, going on 15, 20 years later, has just gotten deeper and deeper and deeper. And I think it's just so beautiful and exciting. And maybe I'll just share that there's a couple resources that I have that might help people. Yeah. So the first one that I can think of is I have a playlist on my YouTube channel of pelvic floor meditations. And there's one that's pretty quick. I want to say it's only 8 minutes long, and it's called Meditation for Pelvic Strength. And anyone listening may have heard the word Kegel, like Kegel exercises. And I would argue that this meditation for pelvic strength is far better than going out and doing Kegel exercises. So go see a pelvic floor physical therapist, get assessed, and do my meditation for pelvic strength. It's free on YouTube, and there are many other meditations in that playlist to choose from as well. But that's a great starting point. And then I also have a free mind-body pelvic health challenge that people can sign up for as well. If they're kind of like, oh, this mental and emotional work of pelvic health makes a lot of sense, I would like to dive a little more into that and increase that connection a little bit more, then this is also available on YouTube, or you can sign up on my new website and get it sent to you without the YouTube ads. So you can watch it for free on YouTube with ads, or you can sign up on my website and get it ad-free, all in one place.
Those are amazing resources, and I will be 1,000% certain to put them in the show notes. So for those of you driving, walking, can't take notes as Brianne is talking, definitely check out the show notes. Brianne has an incredibly robust YouTube channel with so many resources. So she just offered that one meditation, but go explore, go check out Brianne's work. You know, if you know, you know, you'll go onto her website, or which is also beautiful, and you'll go onto her YouTube channel, and you'll just know, like, she's the person for you. And I mean, she's my person because we're like super close friends, but I definitely am just so honored to have this conversation, because every time I sit down with Brianne for some type of interview, I always learn something. She's a wealth of knowledge. And for those of you who want to go deeper, who want to look into the psycho-spiritual side of body image and pelvic health and pelvic wisdom reclamation, this woman is your partner in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, no question.
Thank you so much, Beth.
Well, Brianne, thank you. If you have anything else that you want to share, feel free to do that now. Is there anything else?
Maybe I'll just share a quick clarification for anyone who may look up my information online and be a little confused, is I have two websites. So Vibrant Pelvic Health is really how I'm kind of known, I guess, online. My YouTube channel at this time is Vibrant Pelvic Health. My Instagram is Vibrant Pelvic Health. I have a website called Vibrant Pelvic Health with some really great body-based, more physical programs for prolapse relief and pelvic pain. So that's a really great starting point. But my other website is much newer. It's just being finished right now. And that is briannegrogan.com. And that's really where you're going to find more of the mind, body, pelvic health, psycho-spiritual, holistic pelvic health information. So different paths based on where you're at, where you're starting from. I'd say, honestly, if you're just getting started and some of this stuff we talked about today seemed maybe a little woo-woo or a little bit not for you, then Vibrant Pelvic Health is wonderful if you know you have pelvic floor issues, but you're not, you know, you're more interested in exercises and lifestyle techniques to help.
I love that clarification. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I always say start with Vibrant Pelvic Health if you're just getting started. If you already know that you want to go deep, check out briannegrogan.com, because it'll take you there. Her 10-day challenge. I want to sign up for that. So bring it on,
girl. Do it. It's a journey. And that's the thing. It's a journey. This whole thing is a journey. Change won't happen overnight, but it's so worth getting started on.
Oh, I love it. You're amazing. Thank you, Brianne. I hope for you, the person listening, you learn something new. You're able to start reclaiming this area of your body as a full support to connect with your body, your overall body image, because we can't neglect one part and focus on the other, right? We can't just focus on the appearance of our body as a full. We have to look at all these different components that contribute to how we feel about ourselves. And when we start to heal the shame, the guilt, the disconnection, that's when our transformation ensues. So thanks again. We will see you next week on the show. Brianne, you're amazing. You're wonderful. Thanks for being here. And we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Hey there, beautiful soul. Do you ever find yourself caught in an endless loop of negative thoughts about your body and feel like you're in a constant war with what and how much to eat? If so, you're not alone. Reading a book, listening to a podcast, or talking to a friend may not be enough to help you experience total confidence with food and your body. For this reason, I have reopened my group coaching program, Peace with Food and Soul, a 4-month immersive space where you get to finally shed food and body guilt for good. I have dozens of testimonials from happy clients who will never spend another cent on diet culture solutions because they have created health, mind, body, and soul from the inside out in this program. Check out the show notes for a link to more information if joining a small community who gets you is just what you need to accelerate your journey. Thank you so much for listening in today. I am so grateful. If you enjoyed this podcast, I ask that you share it with a friend who might also benefit. And if you want even more support on your food and body journey, please check the show notes for information about my free Facebook group and private coaching opportunities. See you next time.